Krishna consciousness basically means to love Krishna. That's what Prabhupada preached everywhere. Krishna consciousness. But he didn't only say to love Krishna. That's the only really important thing. Prem Prayojan. Our real necessity is love of Krishna. But that's not all that Prabhupada spoke about. As a matter of fact, he spoke most of the time about other things. Why is that? Well, to come to the point of loving Krishna, we have to clear out everything else from our minds. That's one reason why Prabhupada spoke. A lot of what he spoke was to slash the misconceptions in our minds. Another reason, there may be several reasons why Prabhupada didn't always directly speak of Krishna and love of Krishna. Another reason is to Srila Prabhupada saw the necessity of setting up society in such a way that was favorable for practicing Krishna consciousness. So, due to misconceptions about the nature of reality, we don't understand Krishna consciousness. We may not even take any interest whatsoever in Krishna consciousness. That's the situation of most people in the world. So, even though it should be quite obvious that the body is not eternal, we as spirit souls are eternal, we are controlled, there should be a controller, reality is ultimately good, that reality is Krishna. To understand all these points shouldn't be very difficult, but because people don't take an interest, or even if they do consent to listen to what we have to say, they don't really listen. They because there's so many misconceptions. We have in our minds, even after coming to Krishna consciousness. We have so many misconceptions. So, in Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna speaks about getting free from all doubts. Asang shayang samagrang mang yatha gyasasi tat chuno. Hear from me, Krishna tells Arjuna. Hear from me so that you can be free from all doubts. In Srimad Bhagavatam also we find that... Chindanti sarva sanshayaha, slashing the doubts. So one of Srila Prabhupada's main focuses of attacking the agents of Maya was defeating the scientists. Srila Prabhupada very much wanted to defeat the scientists. Now, why defeat the scientists? Because the dominant worldview at the present time is the quasi-scientific worldview that life is a product of matter. You see, now they're telling us they're going into space and they're looking here and there, and they're saying water is there on Mars, which means there's possibility that life could be there. Life as we know it, they qualify it. So their whole idea is that life is dependent on matter. When matter, by chance, according to them, becomes arranged. You can't really say arranged, but they have to say that. Because arranged means someone arranged it. Then, in a certain way, then life can arise in that situation. What life is, they still haven't defined, because they want to define it in mechanistic terms, which isn't possible, because it's not mechanistic. So, this worldview has very deep ramifications. First of all, it means there's no such thing as spirit, there's no such thing as no such person or entity as God, there's no particular meaning to life, because life is anyway just another arrangement of matter. So I wonder why they're so busy trying to work it all out. If there's no meaning, ultimately, if you say everything's a product of matter, then everything's meaningless. So why are they so busy to search and find out and send space rockets to Mars and take photos and make different theories and defeat the theists? Why should they worry if people are theists? Why should they worry about anything? So Srila Prabhupada was very concerned to defeat the scientists and on that basis to establish Krishna consciousness in a scientific way. Of course, when Srila Prabhupada said establish Krishna consciousness in a scientific way, then the term scientific in that context is somewhat different from what we conceive of as scientific. It's not that Krishna consciousness is going to be established by physics, chemistry, biology, mathematics and all this, although there's someone who's apparently got some theorem which establishes the existence of God by mathematics. So, to defeat the scientists, for that purpose, there was the main purpose of Srila Prabhupada establishing the Bhaktivedanta Institute. Srila Prabhupada himself preached among scientists. He liked to meet with scientists. And Srila Prabhupada, even though he was not trained as a scientist, he would speak with them on the basis of Bhagavad Gita and simple logic. Krishna gave him intelligence, Prabhupada explained. Although I'm not trained as a scientist, Krishna gives me the intelligence what to say to them. And we don't find that Prabhupada was defeated by them. His whole mission was to defeat them. But he set up the Bhaktivedanta Institute so that his disciples who were trained as scientists could say the same things that Prabhupada said, but in scientific language, because scientists, as far as science goes, they're only prepared to listen to other scientists. They don't take other people very seriously. So, and that doesn't mean that we have to keep quiet about all these things. We can talk about it also. And we found many times, I mean, even in the early days of our movement, devotees who had just been in the movement a short time, they'd go into colleges and universities and speak how this evolutionary theory, Darwinian, neo-Darwinian evolutionary theory, it's all bogus, and they would make an impression. Of course, the professors and this and that, they wouldn't be convinced, but the students, in many cases, they would have their intelligence piqued by the presentation of the devotees, and because it's very powerful, and it's true. That's this strength in truth. So, but it requires trained scientists to speak in a scientific way with professional scientists, but all devotees can do that. And we can distribute this book, Life Comes from Life. It's very good. Very powerful. It's Origins magazine. I hope they reprint it here in India. Needs a bit of updating. But just to keep up with the latest scientific theories. So, Srila Prabhupada said to defeat the scientists. But I was thinking about this, that in one sense, you can't defeat them. Because defeating the scientists, it's not like a war in which one country defeats another and then they march their troops into that country and take over the government and all this. I mean, eventually maybe our movement could do that. We could take over the scientific departments in the universities. But when we're talking about meeting scientists and defeating them, their defeat rests on their acknowledging it. You understand that point? If they don't admit to being defeated, in their own mind, they're not defeated. They may not be able to answer you properly, but they, as Prabhupada noted, they said, well, we'll go and do some more experiments. We'll find another answer. We'll do more research. Srila Prabhupada told that story of the two men. They wanted to separate one piece of paper into two. And one said, well, we'll do it with a knife. We're going to cut it into two. And the other man said, no, we should do it with scissors. The man said, no, we should do it with a knife. And the other man said, no, we should do it with scissors. No, with a knife. No, with scissors. And then they started fighting. And the man who proposed using a knife, he was stronger than the man who proposed using scissors. And so the man who proposed using scissors started to run away. And the man chasing him was shouting out, knife, knife! And the man who was running was shouting, scissors, scissors! So as the man was running away, the scissors wala, or the scissors vadi, he didn't notice, and he just ran over the edge of a bank and into a river with a strong current, deep river with a strong current. So he was getting drowned, but just as he drowned, he put his hands up above the water and made a motion with his fingers as if he was cutting paper with scissors. In other words, he wouldn't accept defeat, even though he'd lost his life on such a silly thing. So it's like that. You can't defeat, in the realm of thought, you can't defeat someone unless they admit to being defeated. In another sense, of course, you can defeat them in the sense that, well, everyone else can understand they're defeated. So in that way, we should defeat the scientists. It's just like, they may go on and on, but many times when we're having philosophical conflicts, of course they're not much in fashion in our movement these days, but when we speak the message of the truth of Krishna and Krishna consciousness, then people of demoniac nature, they will oppose, and then we have to counter that, and they'll counter that with their arguments. And in these cases, usually the person who's a demon and who hates Krishna and doesn't want to accept that Krishna consciousness can be in any way correct, they won't admit defeat. But others who are there, I mean, if we're reading Shastra and we have faith in it, then definitely we should always be victorious. Then others who are present will understand who's got the best presentation, which appealing to the intelligence, makes sense, and all this kind of thing. So, in one sense, we can't defeat the scientists, but in another sense, they're already defeated. Because if you have a little bit of clear intelligence, then everything in reality points to the existence of the Supreme Controller, of God. And it's only their stupidity and stubbornness that they can't see this. You don't have to be a big scientist to understand this. Even a child can understand it. So in another sense, they're defeated. In another way, they're defeated also because Prabhupada said to make this, that our scientists, they should show by science how Darwinian theory is all wrong. Unfortunately, our devotees, they didn't get that together to do that. Of course, I'm not faulting the few scientific devotees we had. Well, there were others with scientific backgrounds who joined, but somehow or other they didn't gravitate toward the training in scientific preaching. So that has been taken up by proponents of intelligent design theory, which, according to the proponents of this theory, by their own scientific studies, they came to the understanding that evolutionary theory, that life has evolved from matter by chance, the complexity of living organisms is such that they thought it can't rise from chance. And it's not just in microbiology, but in many fields. Scientists, by their study, have come to the conclusion that life cannot arise from matter, and all the evidence that we glean from science strongly suggests that there is an intelligent designer behind everything. That's what they say, although their philosophical enemies, the evolutionists and the what you might call the orthodox scientists, they say that no, you're just closet Christians, you're just pretending to be scientists, but actually you're Christians. But ultimately it doesn't really matter whether they're Christians or not. Science is science, and if it's a fact that life arises from matter, then whatever anyone may believe doesn't make any difference. And if it hasn't arisen from matter, then again it won't make any difference. The reality is independent of what we conceive it to be. It's usually people start off with a conception and try to make the facts fit to what they think it should be. Like in Greek mythology, there was that Procrustean, something like that. One demon who used to catch people, and he would make them lie down on his bed, which doesn't sound like a very demoniac thing to do. The thing was, he wanted that people should fit to his bed exactly. So if they're too long, he'd cut off part of their legs. And if they're too short, he would pull them by force, by a rack. You know what a rack is? This is what I learned. This is my education, which I learned at school. A rack is, they tie your body from both ends with their arms up. So they have rope around your wrists and rope around your ankles. And then they turn the wheel and stretch it. It's one kind of torture. This is my religious education. What the Protestants used to do to the Catholics. They didn't teach us what the Catholics used to do to the Protestants. They were competing with each other how to invent the most horrible forms of torture and execution. Anyway, generally people, they start off with some idea and they try to fit what they call science to that theory or whatever. They try to understand everything in terms of that. On the other hand, the idea of just starting off with abject ignorance and trying to understand everything from there, that also doesn't work. That's what science is supposed to be, an empiric search for understanding. So in this way, the scientists, they are defeated. I mean, Richard Dawkins is the most famous proponent of scientific, well, what he calls agnosticism. No, he doesn't call it agnosticism. It's more, he doesn't say there's, he said we can't know for certain there's no God, but very unlikely that there's God, according to him. And then there are other scientists who say all the evidence points toward God, which just shows that science is useless for understanding these things anyway. Because one set of scientists with the same information as another set of scientists come to a completely different, absolutely opposite conclusion. So then it just goes to show that science is not the authority for understanding the nature of reality. Is there God or isn't there God? And other questions also. So scientists are the orthodox atheistic scientific view. Actually, it's already defeated. Dawkins is putting up what you might call a good last stand. Like in a battle where the army's defeated for all intents and purposes, but the last few remaining soldiers, they put up a good fight, but it's hopeless. They're outnumbered and they're finished. So, like that, the modern scientific theory that life has arisen from matter, it's just a matter of time before it's acknowledged as a failure. So in that way, the scientists are already defeated. As I say, it's unfortunate that our devotees didn't do it, because then you have to go back to what? To this evangelical Christianity, which is, you know, just another disaster. Just, you know, it's from dogmatic scientism to dogmatic, violent, nasty Christianism. Is it a good step? I don't know. It's like, you know, wet stool and dry stool, or black stool and yellow stool. Which do you think is better? What would you like better? If I offer to rub some stool in your face, what would you like? Brown stool or yellow stool? They're both horrible. What a horrible proposition. Either of them are horrible propositions. This primitive, ignorant, so-called religion, in which the main symptom of what has been like torturing people, killing people, spreading lies to try to convert them, and the idea that God was killed. Very strange ideas. So, anyway, in that sense, the scientists are already defeated. And another way they're defeated is that increasingly in the Western world, people feel disaffected with science and the whole modern way of life. They're two main things, this evolutionary theory, that's under severe attack. And now their great hero, Albert Einstein, his theories have all been proved to be, or just recently, not proved yet. Proved? What do they mean by proof? Whatever they call in science proof gets unproved after some time. So his theories rested on the presumption that nothing can move faster than light. And now they've found out by scientific methods that neutrinos, whatever they are, can move for some subatomic particle or whatever. Subatomic particle, and then from quantum theory, Copenhagen quantum theory, there are no such things as particles anyway. Or there are only if you see them as particles, and so on and so on. It's a mess. So this Einstein was voted by the readers of Time as the greatest man of the 20th century. That's, of course, a Western-centric worldview. There are other people who were very influential in their own way. Hitler was highly influential. Prabhupada. But the fools, they won't notice him. Mao Zedong, he was very influential. So there are so many influential people. But they rated Einstein. But now that's science is just in a complete mess. So for that reason, people, they don't have faith. Just recently, I came to understand that this scientific evolutionary theory of Neanderthal man had been defeated or proved to be this theory was Neanderthal man is what they hypothesized to be one stage in the evolution of man from apes. So many years ago they found out that this theory was bogus. But I found out that even after it was I was still taught that in school. And then the year they found out it was bogus was a few years before I was at school learning that. So they go on teaching even when they know it's wrong. So that's one reason why scientists are already defeated, is that their theory, I mean the main pillars on which the pride of their scientific establishment rests, have shown to be faulty. And another reason why people in the West, many people are disaffected with scientism, is the mess that the whole society is in, based on science. Of course, people will say, well, it's not science, it's misuse of science. But inherent in science has been the supposition that was actually imported from Christianity, that this world is here for us to enjoy and exploit. So all this ecological disaster, which ecologists were warning about for years, is going to hit us. Well, now we're in the middle of it. It started. It's no longer, if you're not careful, in future there'll be so many problems. It started already. The weather patterns are changing dramatically, which is going to have disastrous consequences in so many ways, not least the production of food. And we see that there's like severe storms which used to arise maybe once or twice a year in different parts of the world. It's like continuous now. East Asia, Japan, and now the Philippines, it's like one after another, they're suffering severe, I mean not just this kind of storm that you stay in your house, but the kind of storm that destroys houses. Such heavy storms. And in the United States also, they're having continual, I guess is the word, but almost continuous. So that's happening, and this is the scientists were so confident. I learned this in school, that, you know, we heard this, you know, we're like, we're going to dominate, we're going to control nature, and just a disaster. And now now the oil is running out, and now they're searching for shale, which is some other carbon product, and then by some process which is extremely harmful to the environment, they extract oil from shale. I mean, much, much more harmful than extracting oil. And it's already started everywhere. They're searching for shale. In England, in Canada, they already have one area the size of England, which is which used to be forest, which they've now totally devastated for the extraction of oil from shale. So many people have really disgusted with this. Right now it's going on in America. There are protests from unemployed people who they want to take the government of the United States back and make it the government of the people, by the people, because it's all, the governments are run by the corporations, by the big corporations. So many people feel disaffected, and at the root of this whole rotten society, at least as far as they can see, is one of the main pillars is this scientism. So in that way also, science is defeated already, because people don't have, many people, they just don't have faith in it. And it's not just evangelical Christians who don't have faith in it with their childish dogmas. Would be childish if they didn't, you know, they didn't have their fingers on buttons that can kill people. People who've not from religious reasons, but just from what they would see as human reasons. They're disaffected with science, scientism. So in that way, scientists are all already defeated. In another way, they must be defeated also, because it's inherent in the scientific method that they cannot understand the nature of reality. They are like mice being played with by cats, and the cat is Maya. That they think, oh, we've discovered this, we've discovered that, you see, we've made so many contributions. But parabhavastava-da-bodha-jata-yavanna-jignyasata-atma-tattvam. Anyone who doesn't inquire into the nature of the Atma, they're already defeated. And Maya makes, that's the very nature of Maya, it makes it seem as if they're doing very well, and then smashes them. It makes it seem, oh yes, we got this theory. Oh, fantastic theory, wonderful theory. Yeah, it proves that this, that. And then again they have to say, well, well, actually, yes, our theory needs a little modification. No, it's completely wrong. And so like this. This is the history of science, of thinking they got it right and then they find it's wrong. So, still we have to defeat the scientists. Defeat means, like I say, that this will go on. There won't be any time in the history of the world where there's no scientist, mundane scientist. Whether they come in the classic form of a white, what do you call it, white jacket, long jacket. Apron? No, apron in English is something different. An apron is something a butcher wears. And cooks and others. Babies, they wear aprons. Bibs, that's called. So, they may not be like that, but they may be Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, like this, Karnad, the philosopher we don't know much about him personally, who gave the theory that everything arises simply from atoms, and related to that is the Nirishvara Kapila, the atheist Kapila, Sankhya theory. So there'll always be these kind of people in the world. But our propaganda is to inform people or appeal to people's intelligence, which isn't much. We appeal to their intelligence and attempt to show them that actually these scientists are talking all rubbish. Okay, so they can make a motor car by which you can drive. Alright, okay, they can do something by their technology. But that does not qualify them to give you a whole picture of reality. Or as Prabhupada would say, even if they can invent a computer, who invented the brain by which you could invent the computer? So, this is one of our missions, to defeat the scientists. But in one sense, they can't be defeated. In another sense, they're already defeated. So it's making people aware of these things. And you, especially among the students, you can do that. They tend to be, in India especially, the students tend to be very enamored of science. When we go distributing books on the... I used to go on the train and show them books. They'd look up for half a second and go, oh, I'm not interested in that, and they'd go back to studying their science books. They don't even want to look at it or think of it. That's why it's good to have books also like this. Origins magazine is very good for them. Think, oh, science, okay, well, this religion, that's below my intelligence. You see, I'm more intelligent than to believe in religion. They think that they're intelligent because they've been brainwashed by someone who's manipulating them to think that, to think about religion is less intelligent. and they think they're more intelligent, when actually they're less intelligent because they've been manipulated by someone else to think like that. And that's the whole education system, is to make people think they're intelligent when they're actually being controlled by wrong education, to act in certain ways, think in certain ways, have certain goals of life. So our aim is to change that. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Yes.
Even though these three things are false, but in one sense, we are using this mic, these are workable in the conversation, because whatever you speak, it is recorded. So in one sense,
their theories are not false, because it produces results, just like this recording device. Well, I just gave that example of the, just right at the end of the lecture about the motor car, right? So their theories in some way works. Well, that's what I said, yeah. I mean, we're not saying that everything they say is wrong. I mean, empiricism does have its scope. For instance, there's an apple here, and I say it's an apple. Well, all right, that's good science. But if I say that this apple has come into being by chance, from a random combination of chemicals, that's not science. So, yes, science has its scope. But you see, that's the whole way in which they fool people. You see, we're making computer chips and we're going to the moon and all this, and we're making different kinds of injections which are supposed to heal people. Because this is beyond the ability to understand of ordinary people, then they take scientists to be supermen. Just like people take a Brahmin who by mantra can produce things. They take him to be a superman. He's also manipulating the material energy in a subtle way. So, that's why we say miracles, we don't put much stock on. Miracles don't prove that someone's God or even godly. Miracles means it's a manipulation of the material energy by someone who knows how to do it, and the people who don't know how to do it, they call it a miracle. That's all. So, yeah, all right, so scientists can do something, and people think, oh, you see, their level of intelligence is way beyond us. And then the scientists start talking on things on which they have no jurisdiction. It's not within their field to state whether there is God or not. They have no way to prove or disprove. They shouldn't talk about it. If we may bring in like a highly reputed astrophysicist, okay, and if we ask him to speak on, he's a great astrophysicist. Would that qualify him to be a good cricket coach? No, he's good in one field, but in another field, someone who's experienced in cricket, they are the authority in that field. And the astrophysicist, however intelligent he may be, however expert he may be in his field, he's got no qualification to speak on cricket coaching any more than anyone else. So in the same way, as scientists, they may put up these towers like that one, which is doing all kinds of things to our metabolic system, even though we can't see it. Disturbing our whole, this radiation, microwaves from these towers. So they may be able to do that, and that's considered to be advancement for human society, but that doesn't qualify them in any way whatsoever to speak on the nature of ultimate reality. The fact that they can manipulate matter doesn't give them any insight into or qualification to speak on how matter came into being and how how life came into being. They're going beyond. People are fooled by them that they're qualified to speak on certain things which they're not qualified to speak about. They present it as scientific, but it's not scientific. There's so many things. One of their theories, because they can't work out they have a certain theory that due to all different planets are held in place by gravity, but then it doesn't seem to make any sense because gravity is not strong enough. So then they have a theory that there's huge amount of hidden matter which no one can see, touch, taste, smell, feel or hear. Dark matter within the universe. That's one of their theories. And we're supposed to believe it. It could be also that their whole idea of gravity is wrong, and the whole idea of how the planets are held in place is all wrong. They don't think about that. And they make up all things like black holes in space, and we're supposed to believe all these kind of things, you know. So they should stick. All right, it's you know, someone knows how to make lemonade. He makes a good glass of lemonade. Very good. Give him a clap. He made some lemonade. And someone knows how to make a motor car. Okay, that's more complex. Very good. You made a motor car. But that doesn't qualify you to speak on the nature of ultimate reality. See, building a motor car is... It's a mechanical activity, something like, you know, like making lemonade, but a lot more complex. But then the whole complexity of the universe and how it came into being, they're not qualified to speak on that. They're cheating. Prabhupada often used this word in connection with the scientists. They're cheating, they're bluffing by deigning to speak on matters which they have no qualification to speak on. Yeah.
Why would that think that can alternative of Darwinism, they just think of Christianity instead of...
Alternative to Darwinism. Why do they think of only Christianity? Well, I guess that's all they're familiar with. In their understanding, Christianity represents religion, and the only other religions they know are Judaism and Islam, which Judaism is anyway some kind of tribal cult for a few people, and Islam they think is more backward even than Christianity. You see, Christianity that's identified with the Western world. And in the modern way of thinking, which emanates from the Western world, by the grace of natural selection, the only really intelligent people are in the West. And the only real civilization is in the West. So, Christianity is bad enough, but they couldn't imagine that there could be anything of any value which is not part of Western culture. That's how they wouldn't say that, but that's how everyone in India people think that also. They think everything from the West must be good.
And that's how they manipulate all sources of knowledge.
Yeah, it's a complete manipulation how they're doing this. This Rajiv Malhotra, who's not a devotee, but he's pointing this out in his books, is how the West has usurped the whole cultural ethos of the world.
Originally, it was Christianity dominated, then science.
Originally Christianity dominated, then science took over. Well, it's a long story. Actually, since I was a kid, I'd say that a lot these days, the academic world, they've opened up many, many new fields of study. For instance, the study of Vaishnavism, that may be also influenced by Prabhupada's preaching, but in general there's a lot more awareness of different cultures around the world, and people are studying different cultures. I guess that started with Margaret Mead back in the 50s or something like that. So there are many more fields of study. One field of study, and there are new fields coming up all the time. So one field that's come up is the history of ideas. They're independent from political history and social history. Not independent from, but actually very much interrelated with, but how different ideas became prominent in the world. So it's a long history. How during what they call the Dark Ages, there was Christian rule throughout the world. What happened before that, we don't have much knowledge, because Christianity practically obliterated the old cultures which were there prior to Christianity, and obliterated even any knowledge of them. Some people in the West are trying to understand that and get in touch with it, because it was Vedic, actually. Then gradually they came out of that when then there was the Renaissance, and gradually, I mean, in Europe for like 1,000 years practically, the society didn't change from day to day. I mean, there were political upheavals, even not that much. The Catholic Church ruled Western Europe. Again, in the West, we hear mostly about the Catholic Church, but a large part of the Christian world was the Eastern Christian world, which was in what's now the Orthodox churches. It's amazing how Western-centric our whole education and way of thinking is. When we speak of Christianity, we generally refer to like Catholicism and Protestantism coming out of the Western Christianity, but there's the whole Russian Orthodox Church and the Syrian Church and the Greek Orthodox Church and all this in the East, east of Rome. So, eventually this Copernicus had the theory that actually the universe is not centered on the Earth. The Earth is going around the Sun, and then Galileo looked through his telescope, which he almost got killed for doing. And then gradually people started becoming more scientific minded, and it didn't fit with what the scientists said, and there was some anyway, science and religion, they diverged and they became enemies of each other, so to speak. Although in India there was never that divide. So what was the question again? How? Christianity, yeah. Well, prior to, that's what I'm saying, prior to Christianity there was Vedic type of religion throughout the world. That requires a lot more research to show that, to demonstrate that. And then, yeah, for Christianity was by far the dominant worldview, was the only worldview in the Western world. And then Christianity itself, there was so much, there's Protestantism and different worldviews within Christianity, and it's a mess. It's the age of quarrel. But Christianity, and even now Christianity, even though in the West a lot of people don't like it, or they're not interested in it, but still its influence is very powerful. Somewhat similar to like Britain, even though it has no actual power as a country, but because it was so powerful, it was so powerful, and it has networks all over the world, and so it's still an influential country, more than its actual status. So something like that, even though Christianity is in many ways on its way down, or already down, it's still very influential. And actually the only type of Christianity which is spreading strongly in the world is this evangelical, fanatical kind, which is very bad for the world, actually. And he's not having much influence in the West. It means like in Europe, Australia, America, it's already established. Canada, people, not much influenced. They're not much interested in Christianity. But in Africa, Asia, South America, they're going and converting all the Catholics to this evangelical type. So yeah, it is, and probably the geographical base of Christianity will shift to Africa, Asia. It won't be a European religion the way things are going.
They're converting Catholics.
Yeah, they're converting Catholics. It's like Narayan Maharaj used to come and get ISKCON followers, other Gaudiya Math followers, whoever he could get his hands on. Something like that.
We're hearing about this Darwinism, how it is wrong in ISKCON, but still we see the devotees sending their children to schools.
Still devotees send their children to schools to get a good Darwinistic education. Yes, that's true.
How far this preaching against Darwinism is working?
How far is this preaching of Darwinism working within ISKCON? Well, it's not working because there's not much of it going on. Our society has made a truce with materialistic society, which is a disaster. That's why I'm pushing this. I'm telling our devotees, don't send your kids to these schools. And they're taking it seriously. They're starting their own schools. It's happening, right? Here in Gujarat, in Andhra, in Tamil Nadu. So, you going to be a teacher?
You know, it seems that in the West, people take the Darwin theory more seriously in their lives, no?
In the West, people take Darwin's theory more seriously?
How come, like, at least in India, people go temple also and they study Darwin theory?
Well, in India, why people... Yeah, the result of Darwinism should be that you become an atheist. Although the Catholic Church made a compromise with Darwinism long ago. According to Catholicism, Darwinism means Neo-Darwinism, actually. When we say Neo-Darwinism, you see, Darwin's theory is that everything arises by gradual change. But then that was found out to be scientifically not possible. And so they brought in the theory of mutations. That wasn't there in Darwin. If you read The Origin of the Species, Darwin's book, there's nothing, there's no idea about mutations, but there's, by, in modern Darwinism or modern evolutionary theory, it's not that there's a gradual change, but there's a sudden change. All of a sudden, one, by genetic mutation, one bird or one reptile is born with wings, then turns into a bird. So that's their theory. It doesn't gradually... Darwin's theory was gradual change, and Neo-Darwinism, at least what little I know of it, is, but mutations is a very big part of that. So, although we never see that mutations really help anything. Sometimes you see, like walking on the street, a cow with five legs. There's one leg like hanging down uselessly off the edge of its shoulder. Something like that. You've all seen that, right? Something like that. But it's not that the cow becomes a super cow with five legs and then there's a whole race of new animals with five legs. It doesn't work like that. So, the outcome of it was that you should become atheistic. But Hinduism, as I said, traditionally there's never been a divide between religion and science. And to be a Hindu can be an atheist. You can be an atheist and be a firm Hindu. I mean, some of the prominent Hindu leaders in our country, like Bal Thackeray and Narendra Modi, they're atheists. But they're waving the Hindu flag. So you can be an atheist and you can believe in atheistic theories and believe in God at the same time. In Hinduism, it's possible. And that may, this is another big discussion now, but that's maybe an offshoot of a whole different way of thinking in India than in the West. Whereas in the West, the idea is that there's an idea of fixed reality which you can understand very clearly, whereas in the Vedic concept, contradictions are acceptable. And inevitable. The whole idea of bhakti is that there's this supremely powerful, well, especially in the Krishna bhakti, and especially in the Gaudiya tradition, is that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead who runs in fear from Mother Yashoda, who is personal and impersonal, who is Anor Aniyan Mahato Mahiyan, who's fixed in one place but is always moving. So these contradictions are inherent, and they're not only they can be they can they be accommodated within the for want of a better term Hindu outlook, but they are practically essential to it. It's a more nuanced understanding than just everything's got to be exactly like this. And the idea that everything's exactly like this and then you understand it fully and completely, but the Hindu outlook is different, that you can never understand everything fully and completely. Although to put together theism and atheism is a, that's a bit of a stretch. Sadaputa Prabhu, once I was speaking with him, his analysis was that, you see, Hindus, they have different ways of thinking, and like they can be a scientist, and when they're at work they're scientists, and then when they come out they can go to the temple and they just turn, you know, they turn off the scientist and turn on the Hindu, and they don't feel any dichotomy in that.
Yeah, actually, going for preaching in Tamil Nadu colleges.
Yeah.
People speak and speak all
the way
in science, and
it just doesn't matter to them. They don't bother what you say. They don't listen to what you say. Whatever the sadhu says, it's just his opinion. That it all comes down to impersonalism, doesn't it? That, you know, well, all the theories are the same, and you can believe anything you like. So there is exactness and there is correctness. It's not that everything's all, just any theory's all the same. But that correctness, it's just like mathematics. Geometry depends, well, you can't have geometry without points, right? And lines. Geometry is points and lines, basically. But what is a point? Can you define a point? If it has any size, then it's not a point. If it has no size, then it's not a point. What is a line? A line can only be imagined. If you draw it, it's actually a rectangle with very thin lines on one side and very long on the other. So a line is only a mental construct. As soon as you draw it, it's not actually a line if you look at it very closely. So, but at the same time, geometry is a very precise science. And if we didn't have geometry, well, this house would collapse, right? So, preciseness is there, but when you look a little closer, then there is impreciseness. But that doesn't mean that you dispense with the preciseness. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you look a little closer, he's running away from Mother Yashoda. That doesn't mean he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Go out and distribute those. Life comes from life. It's a great book. People become devotees by reading. They become convinced because Prabhupada's in touch with Krishna. And he whatever theories they bring, Dr. Singh, that means Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, with the latest theories from the University of California, and Prabhupada just smashes one after the other in a way that anyone can understand except the scientists. Hare Krishna.
You said that now, Einstein, they say so many mistakes, he committed mistakes. They say it's advancement of science.
Advancement, yes, what the Prabhupada called it. Advancement of science means when they found out they're wrong and then they make up some other theory which is also wrong and they're doomed. That's why I say they're already defeated. Maya has already defeated them. They're doomed to go on looking for theories, finding it wrong, finding a new theory, finding it's wrong. That is the way of Maya. Brahm Pramad Vipralipsa Karanapatav Arsha Vigya Vakyad Nahidoshesham. This illusion, propensity to make mistakes, cheating propensity, and imperfect senses. These are the attributes of conditioned souls, which are not found in the words of actually learned persons. So they're doomed by the very nature of them being conditioned to go on making new theories which seem to them right, and then they find out it's wrong, and then they do some more research, and then they find out something else which is right. It's all the gift of Maya. That's all. Because they need some justification for forgetting Krishna. We don't need God, we've got science. You heard that one before, right? What do you need God for? We've got science. We don't need religion, we've got science. Yeah, discussion is going on.
They don't all accept God because they are understanding God in terms of, like, according to Christian. Many scientists, some, for example, this intelligent design state, you must throw some intelligent design. So, if somebody is a real scientist, they, why shouldn't they accept God? Because
if they're real scientists, why don't they accept God? Well, that's the question, isn't it? Well, that's one of my theories, is that if you're a scientist and you kind of tentatively accept that intelligent design could be right, you still might want to side with Dawkins because, you know, between Dawkins' nonsense and Christian nonsense, Dawkins maybe sounds more intelligent. And there's Islam also. Islam is also promoting this intelligent design thing. Certain elements from the Islamic world. Yeah, I mean, if you have to, if as a result of accepting intelligent design theory, you feel impelled that now I have to become a Christian. If that's all you know about religion, or a Muslim. For an intelligent person, it's not a very attractive proposition.
Yeah,
actually.
That's the one that you say, that documentary, Bill Stein's documentary.
Bill what?
Bill Stein, that reporter who made a documentary.
Who?
Bill Stein from America.
Bill Stein's?
Yeah. That documentary, that one that you say, what is the alternative to our Christianity? The documentary.
Is it? I don't remember seeing that. Yeah? Better the devil you know than you don't know, there's a saying. So we should give them Krishna consciousness. But then that also has to be intelligently presented, because people think they're intelligent. Actually, apart from all this discussion, they also need lots of prasadam and lots of kirtan. Lots of prasadam and lots of kirtan. Then they're able to understand. Hare Krishna.